Okay, so we're going to start here with a keynote. We also have a talk taking place from Grammonio next door in Gallery. I do want to thank Andreas Prince. He's the head of global strategy for
something like that
for SUSE. And this keynote was a specific ask from the community, which right now we're going through this time of it's a very important transition. I'm happy to see it happening. I've been talking about it for a while. But thank you, Andreas, for being here, and please tell us more.
Thank you. We can open up this mic. Yes, thanks a lot. Yeah, so if you would observe me presenting today, you can at least spot four big mistakes. And I'm fully aware, and three out of the four are entirely on purpose. So if you come to me after the presentation, please tell me three or four of the mistakes I made here on stage. What I would like to do is take you in the next half hour a little outside what's happening here in this room and inside the community. Because I can tell you there's a lot happening with regards to open source outside this community and actually across the world. And when I think about open source and the title of my presentation, Trust is the New License. And then you might wonder, what is he referring to when we think about license? Is that a driver license, or is that the license type of open source that you've put into your project, or is that a sellable unit somewhere listed as a company? It's not. It's the license to operate. And when I speak to customers across the globe that are looking into open source or are already an open source user for many years, it's not about open source. It's not about, do I trust SUSE? Do I trust OpenSUSE? Do I trust other companies? It ultimately boils down, who is the partner I trust the most when it comes to doing business? When I speak to people in New Zealand and Australia, they have no problem with the U.S., obviously. When you speak to people in Africa, they're moving away from America to the U.S., or sorry, from the U.S. to China, and they're using Huawei hardware and Huawei software on top, and they know they're going into a closed ecosystem. But they trust China more than the U.S. at this moment in time. If you speak to Canada, they would say, hey, we're in the same boat as Europe is, and I trust Europe more than I trust the U.S., and I need to migrate away from American technology. So that's trust as the new license. Who is your partner, and who do you want to work with the most? But what is very interesting in all of this is ultimately open source is absolutely a topic that everyone believes in, that if you have the auditability, the transparency, and the ability to contribute and own yourself, that is helping you as a business to become more resilient. And that's what I want to talk about today in the next few minutes. And there's a kind of a sad message in all of this. And I would argue the sad message is that sadly, open source no longer belongs solely to you as a community. And that's sad because more and more people will start using it and probably even abusing the term open source, how they use it and how they want to apply it. And I recently spoke to the University of Wageningen, an agricultural university close to my hometown, and they still believe that open source is free, as in no need right to pay any company for services, for keeping it alive, and for building a healthy community. And they're just using whatever our community provides. And that's sad in a way. I would argue it's also positive, right? Because the more it goes, the better it is, and the more users, right, the more mature our products will become. But if it doesn't belong to you, right, then the question is, who does it belong to? Well, before I get there, what I sensed in the last 6 to 9 months, and this is really the horizon, the last 6 to 9 months, all of a sudden, board-level members are waking up. Yeah, it's funny, I know, are waking up and saying, hey, I'm very dependent on a lot of proprietary software. Right? So I'm having almost three, four conversations a week with executives of very big companies, public sector, private sector, you name it, and they are all of a sudden aware that they have a humongous dependency. And then based on who they trust, they either fear the dependency and they want to change, or they're perfectly fine with that. Or based on the criticality of their systems, they make a choice to move away from a closed system and want to go to an open system. And there are a couple reasons and drivers behind that. And probably the biggest driver, at least for Europe, is that there's a lot of regulation coming towards these executives, whether or not you're in the critical sector, in banking, in healthcare, or in governmental bodies. There is more and more a desire to become open, transparent, and auditable. And then open source, I would argue, is almost the only answer to get there. And that should make us happy, right? Because if the boardroom is aware of their dependency, they will start making other choices. And that's good, because more adoption, as I said, will ultimately deliver more stable products. And many, and I'm not kidding, many all of a sudden realize that it's not the closed source proprietary type of software where there's a single vendor behind it, right, fixing all the bugs and doing the security testing and whatever, but it's the openness of the community that they now start to see as a kind of their rescue when it comes down to the future of their company. And I think that this is a really fascinating trend, right, that it's not us. I don't know if I really belong to the community. I wrote about that on LinkedIn. But it's no longer us speaking about open source, but it's also, right, the executive level thinking and understanding that they need to have a way out. And it's everywhere, right? It's not only here in Germany, in Schleswig-Holstein, where they move more and more, right, to projects like an alternative to Office 365, or they're considering Linux desktop, right? It's happening across the globe. And that is a fascinating event that is happening as we speak. And I had to put this one in, because there are people probably not in this room today, but definitely from your community, that are sending me presentations and emails that are 2 years old, 5 years old, and some presentations of 9 years ago where they said, but I told you so. It was already in my presentation that I believed that governments and banking and whatever industry had to move from closed source to open source. That's okay, right? Let's celebrate that it was already put on paper 9 years ago or 10 years ago, but that finally we're now coming to the acknowledgement that it's absolutely important for our economy, for our continent, for the countries, and ultimately, right, to build a little bit of security in our lives, yeah, as far as software would do that. But I told you so is absolutely a message that we hear. And so when I think about the software supply chain or the secure software supply chain, finally it's ending up in regulation, in proposals of laws, right? These words of hardware and software. And finally, when it comes down to chip design, right, there are European players starting based on a RISC-V architecture to develop silicon in Europe. And I know that will take years before it gets to reality. And I know it will never be at the scale of NVIDIA or AMD. But people start to understand that they need to change, right, and that they need to use these technologies to get out there. And that, to me, is again very hopeful. One probably of the biggest wins of the last 9 months happened about 2.5-3 weeks ago. Who of you know who this lady is here on the screen? One hand, two hands, three hands. Don't feel ashamed. That's fine. It's Henna Virkkunen. And Henna Virkkunen is leading the initiative for Europe as a member of the European Commission to articulate a strategy on how Europe can become more independent. And in the text they wrote with that entire team, you will see words like weaponization or keeping people hostage by using particular software. So this text is really strong when it comes down to the impact of foreign software or foreign countries having software being used in the EU. In the text, you will see numbers, right, that up to 70 to 90% of all of our workloads are actually running on American hyperscalers. You see that a lot of money is flowing out of the EU and therefore building a stronger economy elsewhere. So the EU, from a dependency perspective as well as an economic impact, start to realize that we need to change as Europe. And I do think that's a hopeful sign, although I hate kind of that every continent or even country becomes independent, because that kills innovation at the end. But what is really good in both the Cloud Native and AI Development Act and the Open Source Strategy, two out of the four pieces, open source is front and center. They've articulated in the open source strategy that it should be open source first. So whenever a public sector will procure software, they first need to look, is there an open source software available that does the job before they go to a proprietary closed piece of software? And this is hopeful because they understand their dependency is a risk ultimately for the world. So I told you so, right, is coming alive here in the EU tech sovereignty package. And of course, right, of course, a lot still needs to happen because it's not forced, right? It's a recommendation to have open source first. And I understand why, right? Because we might put some relations at risk to be firm. But we will start, and we have started, a lobby to become much stronger. SUSE published an open letter where more than 150 European open source and consultancy firms have signed a letter to become even stronger when this proposal turns into a law in the next 2 to 3 years. That's the movement that is happening. And you might wonder, why is this guy on stage almost wearing an entire suit? Well, because I do think that that is the trend that is happening. It's no longer this community that's speaking about open source, but we are, as SUSE, but we are as a community speaking in Brussels almost at a weekly basis to emphasize how important it is to turn this way as a continent. And when you ask others across the world, they would absolutely acknowledge that what Europe is doing around open source is the strongest text and direction yet that has been put out there by regulators. So that makes me hopeful, and it makes me very, yeah, looking forward of what's changing. And I mentioned, right, that SUSE as such published an open letter, and a lot of the smaller open source projects are looking at SUSE on how can we become more united, right? I do think another very good development, more united in bringing this message across. Last Tuesday, I was with Open Project, Nextcloud, Collabora, Penpot, and one more at the mini event in Brussels, where the people who wrote the text I just spoke about were present and debating what else do we need to add into it, right? So that's a demonstration of how even competitors, right, both replacements for Office 365, are united in the purpose of getting to a more resilient infrastructure. And I do think that that is a very important movement. And this is where I started, right? It no longer belongs solely to this community of or people that work for the last 25 years in open source. It all of a sudden is absolutely at the list of people wearing suits. And I do think that that is a kind of a nice element, right? That we finally get, in a way, the recognition that we also and always had dreamed about and hoped for. So, with that, the question is, how will it move forward? And what are actually the shortcomings, right, of all of this? Because let's face facts, right? I will come there in a minute. We're not there yet, right? There's still a lot of work to do. And I started my conversation with the fact that the shift is a global shift. I feel sometimes here in Europe, we're too much focused on Europe, right? And we do think that Europe is absolutely the best of the best, right? And well, I do think there's some merit to that, right? But if I take a look at my daughter, she's 9. If I take a look at how bad her education is at the primary school, right, it's absolutely insane. And if I take my 2 sons of 17 and what they learn at school, it's absolutely no longer what it was. So I'm not complaining too much, right? Healthcare is still really good. But there's more happening outside of Europe. And I started with saying, right, that trust really matters, right? Trust between continents or trust between countries. But when we think about software and trust, right, there's a whole other level going on. And I do believe absolutely that the transparency matters most. Probably a fun fact, I'm only in this community for 2 years. So 2 years ago, SUSE acquired a closed source proprietary observability company called StackState. And I was leading that company as a CEO, and I never ever worked with, well, we worked a lot with open source, right? By putting a proprietary UI on top and then call it, right, proprietary software and sell it. But I never was so deep into the community. But what I start to understand, right, is elements like OBS, right, or other capabilities coming out of this community are absolutely contributing to the level of trust we need. So we should absolutely continue. And more people start to understand that it's not necessarily the license, right, that drives the fact that something is sovereign, right, or a promise in a contract that you can audit at any given moment in time. But more and more companies start to realize that you need to have the ability to exercise your controls, right, that you're able to own the code or contribute to the community when needed. And this sounds obvious probably to this room, but this is very important that people start to realize that this really matters when it comes down to open source. And in conversations about Red Hat, right, the storyline that SUSE always has, right, is the fact that it's much more open, right, that we have OBS, I don't know how many, 200,000 I've once heard, projects being built there. That's the contribution you need to make to openness, right, and to transparency for the IT estate where the country runs on, where Europe runs on, and universities, etc. So exercising control is a very important element. And even if you have control, right, then there's another version or another question that needs to be asked, right? And that is actually happening as well, right? And I'm not speaking here about engineers that develop software, but CTOs, CIOs that ask the question, can I build it myself? If needed, could I patch it? Can I audit it? And can I move that forward? So I saw only 3 releases of OBS. I don't know if that's a lot, right? If that's a double number from next year, I also don't know how much went into that. But these building blocks are fundamental. And in our conversations with regards to sovereignty, we're calling these important pipelines, technologies, projects out because that's a proof point, right, of the openness and the contributions that we're making. Very important. Can you keep it running, right? And very often I get pushback. Yeah, but I won't run, or I don't build Linux myself, or my company, or my government would never do that. But there's at least another party, right? Imagine that we would all stop tomorrow with existing for whatever reasons, right? There will be others that can continue with that path. And that is a very important element to the open source that resonates at an executive level. Very often, I'm ending up in a conversation, and forgive me if I'm also putting a little less open in your mind software into the mix, but very often, I'm ending up in conversations about the technology stack. And then a lot of people, they say, yeah, but we have Linux and Kubernetes on top, so that's fully open and transparent, and I know exactly what software is running on that stack. And then I ask the question, but what is it that your software development teams are deploying onto the clusters or into the clusters? Yeah, they pull random container images from Docker Hub or whatever they pull the container images from. So if you think about sovereignty, right, and the transparency of the entire application stack, right, it doesn't stop at the lower levels of the OS, it goes up all the way towards, but what is the code that you deploy in your clusters around your business applications that make it work? And that's why I do think we as Europe, right, needs to go much further in curating more and more applications, yeah, for example, with SUSE application collection, and provide building blocks to the community. And so far, what we've seen is the building blocks are only building blocks used by platform engineering teams. Yeah, it's Prometheus, it's Kafka, it's all these surrounding applications, but we need to level that up and take Collabora and Open Project and whatever software we have out and put them in App Collection as well. Because ultimately, we need to have insight in the full software supply chain out there. Believe me, the big dragon is fully alive. There is a lot of pushback in Europe at this moment because the text that was pushed out as the proposal text and the leaked text. So there was a text, right? Remember Hanna Virkkunen, the only lady here in the presentation. They leaked the text. I don't know if that was on purpose. I guess it was on purpose. 1.5 week before the official publication. And if you take the leaked text with the text that has been gone out 1.5 week later, it was already less strong, less firm, right? And it's watering down. And there's only one reason, right? And that's that there are a lot of proprietary software providers that absolutely don't want to go open source all the way. And we need to continue pushing this. And funny enough, there's still the absolute same arguments being used. It went as far as a couple months ago, I was in the European Parliament for a commission, and all of us had 7 minutes to present what we believed. Well, funny enough, there were 8 companies. 5 out of the 8 were American companies, right? Europe, right? There you go, your first dependency. And then only 2 of them were open source. So there was only 1 European open source company seated at the table. And there was a guy of Google sitting next to me, and then there was a guy of Broadcom. And I wasn't aware that the guy was working for Broadcom. So throughout my talk, I made almost the same points as I made here, right, on the openness and the transparency and the auditability. And I said, well, a good example for Europe, for example, what's happening here is with VMware, right? They're killing their ecosystem. They're killing their ecosystem with partners. Yeah? So the trustworthiness of who's going to run your stack is absolutely at risk. And I said, and they're quadrupling their prices. And I continued, and I was absolutely unaware. And it was a Spanish guy, and I won't mimic his accent, but he was probably a couple years before his retirement. And when he started, he opened the mic, and he was leaning forward. That young man doesn't understand the rules of the house. You don't speak about competition, and you don't speak about price. But then it came. He said, open source is not ready for enterprise scale, and we should not use it because it's not secure. Right? And that's still the lobby of big tech that is going on, even this year, right? A couple months ago. And we're still fighting that. But I have good hopes. There's a lot changing, and we'll continue to push doing so. So, nothing new. Open source is there, right? We did another 16 releases and 7 and 3 releases of all the famous projects. But my question would be, what is needed to get to a wider adoption? I will hint to one of the mistakes that I made. I'm running here a MacBook with macOS, right? And up until today, and I tried it a couple of days ago, right? It's like, okay, I go here, should I run Leap on my machine? One way or the other, right? To demonstrate that I'm a kind of part of the community. I failed. And I'm not your typical technical person, right? But that is the level of ability to really spread it out much, much wider. And I'm hopeful, right? Because it is happening, right? Universities are changing. Schleswig-Holstein is changing. And there are many more examples of change happening, right? But what will be the day that for a civil servant in France, it is as easy to start up his machine, right? And using Leap as it is using macOS or Windows. And we're not there yet, right? And I'm very honest, and convince me different, but I failed, right? And I know a little bit of IT, but not too much. And I do think that that is a kind of an example, right, of where we are from a usability perspective. The other big issue that we see happening is the migration, right? Because it sounds funny that with Nextcloud or Collabora, you have an alternative to Office 365, but the entire integration and whatever might be a struggle. And that's why I'm happy that companies like here in the back are joining forces, right? People are aware, and there's a market for us to do that. But the migration, etc., is still relatively hard. The other element I do think that we need to tackle, and it's happening, I mentioned the open letter, but it's still a pretty fragmented ecosystem, right? We look kind of ugly to other communities around us, probably, or we're not integrating that nicely. I know there are many other examples. One of the initiatives we're doing in France, for example, is with La Suite, right? La Suite Numérique, an alternative for Office 365, and we're trying to package that through Elemental 3 with RKE 2, right? And really trying to get a one-click install type of package. Because if you go to a local municipality somewhere in the Bordeaux, right, they don't have 50 engineers that can roll out a stack and maintain a stack like this. So how can we change that, and how can we unite as an ecosystem? And we need to go, as I mentioned, right, from technical building blocks, which we are really good at as a community, right, and go much more towards end customer facing type of applications. Also, this is another very important element. We need to grow towards a state where the secure software supply chain is not something only you understand, but where even the auditor or the chief compliance officer in a large bank can easily make use of, right? Because if I would ask a platform engineer, provide me the full software bill of materials of a deployment that happened 2 weeks ago, right, and 60 mutations already happened, provide me the full software bill of material, and not of each piece of the stack, but a holistic one, they will struggle tremendously, right? So we could argue that we have the software supply chain in control, right, and that we are fully transparent, but we're not. We're providing that at the technical level, and I'm really looking forward to the years to come, hey, where this becomes more consumable, easy to understand for auditors, compliance officers. And why is that important? Because they are asked and forced through regulation that this becomes visible. To close off, trust is the new license and reputation is the new permission. And I do believe that all of you here, SUSE, OpenSUSE, and the entire open source ecosystem absolutely has a vital role to play in the years to come. So I'm as said, I'm hopeful and very much looking forward to the future. Thank you so much. There's still 5 minutes. If you have a question, absolutely happy to ask. If you can grab this mic, Mike, if you can go with the mic around, it will be nice.
Thank you for this presentation. It were really good insights. If I got it right, you're saying, oh, I'm here on a Mac and I wanted to install Leap, but I failed. And you're taking this as the showstopper, basically, for a public servant to use Leap as well. How many public servants do you think have installed their Windows desktop? I guess none of them.
Exactly.
So what it really needs for them is a pre-installed software where they can switch the button and the box fires up. I can understand that it may be a little bit hard to install Leap on a system, but I would like a big thanks to Lubosch. Where is he? Lubosch? Hey. Because that man just fired up a respin of the Leap software, which fixes most of the problems that we had in the beginning of it. So when you now download it and install it, you've got a very fresh software stack, which should make it very much easier for you. And if you really need help on that, let me know. Thank you.
Thanks for elaborating on that, because you're absolutely right. I used an example, and every example has shortcomings, and there's a whole ecosystem being built around it, so definitely. Thanks.
So I too have a Mac in my lap, not because I failed to work with Linux, but because my authorization, my corporate authorization model does not work with Linux very well. So I think that one of the things that you struck upon here, and have lived your life creating, right, is that there is a strong discipline that is required to have a pipeline that delivers what we need for a government to adopt and to consistently build. How can we help that, you know, that part of the community understand the discipline that we live every day, this pipeline experience?
So I do think if you explain it, they would acknowledge that it's a discipline, that it's hard work, and that it's needed and valuable. So I do think there's no disagreement there. I do think for them to understand what is actually happening, right, is the difficulty of visualizing it in front of them. Right, so the example I mentioned, right, on an end-to-end stack, right, what would be the software bill of material of that end-to-end stack at that given moment in time, that's nowhere to find, right? And we are in my mind, pretty easy in saying, yeah, but I've produced an SBOM for that building block, but are we also developing capabilities, right? There's an OWASP project, I do think it's called Dependency Track, and there's a chain loop, not to mix it with chain guard, chain loop that tries to capture it, and there are a bunch of an avocado type of company that tries to collect it. So there are initiatives starting, but I do think as SUSE we should also look at that kind of next level, right? Where do we store the evidence? How do we make it consumable, right? And then really easy to consume, right? Not somewhere deep down in a repo where you first need to log in and whatever. So that's, I do think, kind of the way how I would see it happening, right? Often what I've learned, also in proprietary software, reports and dashboards is what a manager will understand, right? Rather than the heavy lifting. So for me, the most easy way of explaining it, forgive me if you don't like it, but when I need to explain SUSE application collection, right, I bring up a couple screens, right, and I can demonstrate, right, that it's a smaller Linux, that's a smaller image, right, that the image that is used is Linux, the size, the vulnerabilities, the licenses being used, right? So that way of thinking about it helps a lot in understanding and what it is, yeah. All right, thank you so much. Others need to go on stage, so enjoy the day.